Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Processing the Pain with yours truly, Coach D. I want to welcome you in the studio on tonight. Thank you for joining us. I am super excited. I am ready for a word that will transform, a word that will help us to transition to be exactly where God has called us to be. Man, I tell you, I'm looking forward to tonight. And I want to welcome each and every one of you in the studio. Thank you for joining us. I am excited for you as well as myself because I believe something's going to be said that's going to help you on whatever it is that you're going through. Before I get started, before I introduce our guest who's in the studio with us tonight, we do have I say a guest, but he's really not a guest. He's family. He's spoken several times on the broadcast. He has been a committed supporter of the broadcast, and I love him dearly, and I know God uses him in a unique way because everybody has their own style. Everybody has their own way of how they minister or bring forth the word of God. God uses each one of us individually and uniquely, and I believe that God does that because there's an audience that I could touch that the next person may not be able to touch, and vice versa. There's an audience that you could touch that I may not be able to touch. So that's why I think it's very important that we don't look at people's style of delivering the word and that we put them in a box, that there's a format, that there's this religious ritual that we have to follow and that you have to do this, this, and this because this is the way this pastor do it or that's the way that preacher do it or that's the way that reverend do it. But that, you know, we'll have a tendency if we're not careful because we've been caught in religion and what we've seen growing up as kids, and, you know, we've seen things happen a certain way. And so because Reverend such and such, you know, he hoops and he hollers and he brands the point and he jumps over the bleachers at the benches, we feel like we're not effective if we don't do that. Everybody, God has called us each uniquely. Each of us none of us have the same fingerprint. Amen. So that means that God has each one of us unique and set aside for his purpose. And if we're giving God the honor, then that's what matters, is that we're being obedient and that we're giving him the honor. So I wanted to say that because one of the things I want to kind of bring up, and then I'm going to step back, but this week has been, I'm not going to say this, I've been in a season. I have been in a season of fall. And, you know, fall is the season where the leaves fall off. Things don't look as pretty as they do. Everything looks kind of bare and empty. And I believe that I've been in that season in a spiritual sense. And I'm hopeful because I know with fall generally comes winter, and I believe spiritually seasons don't have to come in order like they are in the natural. I believe that I could go from fall to spring. Amen. And so I truly believe that I'm coming out of the season of fall. It's been here a long time. I've been battling with it. I've been, you know, been at learning, trying to learn through it. You know, my mentor asked me a few days ago, what am I learning? And I couldn't even answer that question because, you know, I was just learning. You know, I was like, nah, I can't think of anything that I'm learning. But believe me, in every season there's something to learn. Even if you don't know what that thing is now, you will know what it is later. And I know that I'm learning a lot of things in this season. I just have not been set free to be able to speak on them. Because why? Because I'm not out of this season, and I'm still struggling to get through this season. I'm ready to get to spring. Amen. So one of the scriptures I wanted to bring up, because I hear so many people, and we have been known, the body, you know, because we are the church, but we have been known to ridicule people. We have been known to, when people are going through, you know, we want to automatically say people have fallen away from God's grace. We automatically want to say people are going to hell. We automatically want to always call out other people's sin. We don't never talk about our sin, but we'll call out everybody else's sin, and we'll condemn everybody else to hell, and, you know, and that's just a fact. That's a human fact. And so the scripture that came to mind for me is because I believe a lot of leaders will not speak about what they're going through. A lot of leaders just be quiet, and they try to struggle through things on their own. They try to fight through these attacks, this warfare, spiritual warfare or physical warfare. They'll fight through it, and oftentimes they won't say anything to anybody because they don't want to be ridiculed, or they don't want people to view them in a certain light, because people have a tendency, well, if they're going through this, how are they going to tell me anything? If she's doing this, then how is she going to coach me through this? But I'm going to tell you, that's the most dangerous thing, because if people feel like they don't have an outlet, if people feel like they don't have a safe place to go and be able to share what they're going through without having to be stripped of what God called them to do, because it ain't man, is God, then they'll be quiet. And what they'll do is either self-medicate or they'll isolate. I'm going to say that again. They'll self-medicate or they'll isolate. And that's a fact. That's just the truth. If you don't believe anything else I say, believe what I'm telling you right now. And so the word of God came to mind for me tonight when I was thinking about that, and I was just like, Lord, you know, how can people be set free? How can people be delivered? How can people, you know, just be able to, I know that we come to the Lord. I know we, you know, many of us pray, and maybe we fast and we cry before the Lord because we stuck in a season. And I don't think it was God's intention that none of us is supposed to be stuck in seasons, but we're supposed to, you know, seasons come and go. And I don't think we're supposed to get stuck in one season, but I'm gonna confess honestly, I'm stuck. I've been stuck in fall, and I'm trying to get out of it. And I'm just being transparent, because you get to a point where the only person I want to please is God. The only person I want to honor is God. I ain't worried about honoring man. I ain't worried about trying to put on facades. I'm not worried about this title. Matter of fact, I don't even use my title. So I'm not worried about what people think. What I'm worried about is people being delivered and set free and getting out of bondage, you know, and getting past hurts and wounds and childhood traumas and all this stuff that keep us stuck, that keep us from being the best version of us that we could be, that keep us from being what God called us to be, that keeps us from being successful. And I'm not talking about a success as far as wealth, which is great, but I'm not talking about that. I'm saying success meaning being able to accomplish some things, being able to be faithful in little so that we could be faithful in much. Amen. So I'm going to just say this really quick. James, let's go over to James, and we're going to go to James chapter 5, and I'm going to go to number 16. So we're going to go to James chapter 5, verse 16, and I'm going to be reading from the English Standard Version. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. James chapter 5, verse 16. Again, it's telling us. It's telling us, God in his word is telling us to go and confess our sins one to another. So when we confess our sins, that would not put you in a position to condemn the person confessing. What it does put you is in a prostrate position, to pray, to stand in the gap for them, to intercede for them, so that they could get through whatever this thing is that's causing them to be stagnant, that's causing them to not be all that God has called them to be. So I just wanted to share that. I felt like that was on my heart, and I felt like we as people need to know that we need to be standing for each other. We need to be praying. Instead of constantly, this person's going to hell, and look what this person's doing, look what that person's doing, we're supposed to hate sin. Just as much as we hate sin in other people, we're supposed to hate it in our own lives. Our enemy is sin, which is the enemy. It's not the person. There's many people that's struggling with sin, but they need help. They need intercession. They need a safe place to vent to. They need somewhere where they could get delivered, but not talked about and not condemned. So with that being said, I want to welcome the man of God into the studio on tonight. God is perfect in his timing, because he put him on my heart, and when he put him on my heart, I reached out to him because I knew I needed to be ministered to today. So he is in the studio. Brother Q, Minister Q, are you in the studio on tonight?
Amen. I'm here, sis.
Woohoo! Well, I'm excited. I'm excited to hear what God, what the Holy Spirit is going to speak through you to us. And I'm going to just, I'm presenting to some and introducing to others. He prefer to be called Brother Q, but he is a minister of the Word of God. And I'm welcoming him into the studio on tonight. I'm going to step back. I'm giving him free reign, and I'm submitting the platform to him. So, Brother Q, take the wheel.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Nisi. I appreciate that. God bless everybody. It's good to be on tonight. I have a word that's on my heart, actually a burden that's been on my heart. The Lord put on me maybe about a month or so. And I've been going through this. I've been studying the Word, and I just want to be up front with you all and be transparent and let you know that I don't have an answer, right? This is something that I'm still trying to flush out. It's a question, and I'm bringing it to the believers. I'm bringing it to the fellowship tonight, and hopefully maybe it'll land on you. For some, it'll hit different, but it's something that's really made me think, and I'm praying that it'll do the same. I'm just going to pray really briefly, and then I'll get into it. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time together. I ask that you would use me in this time, Father, to bring the word forth. That word that you placed on my heart, Father, would you allow me to articulate that word tonight? Allow me to get out of the way. Allow me not to be a stumbling block or a distraction, but that your children would hear your word loud and clear, Father. I pray that it ministers to all those under the sound of my voice, as well as me, Father, that I don't get caught up in a script or trying to follow a certain mold, Father, but that I would hear your spirit. I thank you for this time. It's in your son Yeshua's name I pray. Amen. Amen. So I won't be long tonight, you all. I've got about three windows that we want to tap into, and then we'll get out. I got a couple of stories. There's some scripture here, but it won't be a really long message. It's not that kind of message. I know when Sister Denise reached out to me, I told her that I did have something on my heart, but it wasn't really a softball type of a message. And I know sometimes these things can land different, and so I don't want to put you through a whooping, right? 60 minutes of being beat down. So it's not a long message, and like I said, three windows we'll tap into, and we'll just kind of see what the Spirit does. The topic that I'm speaking on is do we resemble the Father, right? Do we look like our Father, or do we look like the world? And this was something that I had shared in my family's prayer call this past weekend, and I got a lot of interesting reactions from that. And so maybe for the last, like I said, month and a half, this is something that I've been going through. It's been and just a little background before I jump in this, family. This has been a really blessed season for me. It's been, for the last 3 months, it's been a lot of one-on-one time with Elohim. He's drawn me in and just kind of sat me down. And it started in February with my men's Bible study, did a 20-day fast, and then that led into March. I normally do a fast and consecration in March because it celebrates the month that I came to the Lord. And it's actually been 10 years. I came to the Lord in 2013, March. So, and then I just kept that going into April. So I've really been in tune and hearing from the Father. So I pray that you receive this message tonight, right? It comes out of the passage in 1 Peter, where he says that we were set apart. And I'll read that passage, and then what I'm going to do is I just want to set up a couple of things, right? But if you want to turn to 1 Peter, go ahead. It's in 1 Peter, and the chapter is 2 on that. And I'll read verses 9 through 12. I'll start at 9, and I'll read 9 out of the King James Version. And Peter's writing here, right? And he's saying in the previous chapters, he's talking about unbelievers being a stumbling block and what disobedience and those things looks like. And then he turns the corner and he's talking to believers. He says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, a peculiar people. And I like that, the word peculiar. The King James is the only version that uses that. He said that you should show forth praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And then I'm going to read 10 and 11 from the NLT, as it reads a little smoother, right? And it says, oh, once you had no identity as a people, now you are God's people. Once you received no mercy, now you have received God's mercy, right? And he goes on to say, dear friends, I warn you as a temporary resident and foreigners to keep away from worldly desires that wage war against your very soul. Stay away from worldly desires. Verse 12, he says, be careful to live properly among your unbelieving neighbors. Then even if they accuse you of doing wrong, they will see your honorable behavior and they will give honor to God when he judges the world. And that's a big piece. Right? That 12 is big. He said, make sure that you're living right amongst people that don't believe, because when they see you living right, they won't be able to accuse you, right? When they come against you, they won't be able to accuse you, but they'll give honor to God. So the way we live will bring honor to God and may bring people to God. So I just wanted to set it up. That's our foundational text, I guess, for tonight. But I want to go backwards real quick. So before I jump into that, I really need to set the stage with, and I won't read all of these. It's just three verses. I won't read them, but I'll give them to you to write down, and maybe you can get to them when you can. But the first one comes from Colossians 1, and it's verses 15 through 18. And I love this, and we use this in our Bible study as foundation. We go back to this this scripture often. We revisit it just to kind of use it as a reset. But it's in 15 through 18, and Paul is talking about the preeminence of God, the sovereignty of God, him being the head of all things. And in verse 18, he uses the language, and he says that he has the head of the body, the head of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that all things he may have the preeminence. Again, nothing before him, no body before him, right? No thing, no body, no desire. It's all mine. That's big, family. Just let that sit on you. It's all his stuff, right? It's all that we're all his people. Right? He can take and he can give. That job you love so much, that husband you love so much, that child you love so much, it's all his. He can take it when he wants to. Okay, so again, we're just building blocks here. Romans 12, we're all familiar with this passage, right? It comes out of Romans 12. I think it's verses 1 and 2 were the ones that I was looking at. And sorry, I had to get a little water. He's talking about our body should be a living sacrifice to the Lord. And that's big. That means that I got to get out of the driver's seat. This life that I waited my whole life to run on my own, right? I waited 18 years to get grown so I could be in control. He's saying, now that's my life, brother. Okay, I got that. And so, the scripture says that let them be a living and holy sacrifice, right, kind and acceptable, these lives we live. And then it goes on in verse 2, and it says, and don't be conformed to this world. There goes that world again, right? Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, right, that you may prove what is good and acceptable in the perfect will of God. Major. Right. So now we know who he is. He's preeminent. He's the boss. Right. Nothing before him. Secondly, we know that we are his. Right. These bodies, these lives belong to him. And then what are we supposed to do with knowing that? We're supposed to follow the charge. And our charge, we all know, comes from Matthew 28. Right. And I'll again, just really quick, I'll hit that. I'm just setting us up. Matthew 28, verse 19. And he was talking to the disciples, and he said, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And that's our charge, right, and to go and to share this word and to share this gospel. And check this out. Go don't mean go stand in the church. It don't mean go stand on the corner. It don't mean go stand in the park. It means go wherever you're going, right? Go mean on your way to the store. Go mean at work. Go may mean go in your kids' room tonight. Go in your brother and sister's room tonight, right? It's the people that we live around that sometimes we need to go to first. So I just wanted to get that set up, right? It's his thing. It's his whole. All this is his. It's our reasonable service. That's what the scripture says in Romans. This is our reasonable service. And thirdly, not to be conformed to this world. Okay, that's big. Put a pin in that one. And then to go, therefore, here we are. What are you talking about tonight, Brother Q? Here it is. Do we look like the world or do we look like the Father? We just got what we're supposed to be doing and who we are from and all of those things. But what is it to look like the world, right? It's again, if we don't look different from the world, we look like the world, all right? And we read in 1 Peter, this first scripture I read that said you're a peculiar people, a set apart people. Now, what happened was, you guys, it was maybe about, I don't know, maybe about 2 or 3 weeks ago when I was in the lobby of my building, one of my neighbors saw me. It was around Easter. He said, hey man, it's Easter, man, you're not celebrating Easter? And I told him, no, man, I don't celebrate Easter, brother. And he said, wait a minute. You the brother I was just talking to, and you're telling me about God and all this, and I was telling you I don't believe. He's a non-believer. He said, and I was telling you that I don't believe in all that stuff, and you telling me you don't celebrate Easter? And I said, no, you know, he said, but ain't that supposed to be a big day? And I said, yeah, no, you're right. You know, it's the, you know, the world celebrates it as the, you know, the resurrection of our Savior, and there's nothing wrong with that. I said, but I just chose to do with what I've been instructed to do by the Bible. And he said, so what's that? And I told him, well, you know, I recognize the Passover. And he said, Passover? What, you Jewish? And I laughed. And I said, well, that's a whole other story, brother. But just out of obedience and what the word tells me to do is what I'm trying to do, and I'm trying to hear him. And he said, well, man, you sure is crazy, because I don't even believe, and I got the day off tomorrow, and we getting ready to party. I'm barbecuing and blah, blah, blah. And it landed on me. I was like, wow, here this brother ain't even a believer. But he's celebrating, right, in his own way, along with the world. And he said, you sure is crazy, right? You sure is peculiar. You sure is different. And I like that. At first, it kind of caught me off guard. Then I thought, no, gee, that's a compliment. That's a good thing right there, right? And so let me address this piece of being set apart, you guys. We should look different. We should be moving different. The world should see us different. And I know sometimes there's some trepidation in that, because being different can mean being isolated. It can mean alienation, loneliness, different, weak. You know, there's a bunch of different things that, you know, connect with that. But the scripture comes along and saves us, right? We go to 2 Corinthians 12 and 9 and 10, and he says that his strength is made perfect in our weakness, y'all. And so that's the win right there. So when you feel that, you know, I don't want to be different, or I don't want to look different, or I don't want to look apart, just know that his strength is perfect in our weakness, right? So when we're weak, we're strong. And so that's the reason I'm able to get on this call right now and speak, because it ain't me. It's his strength, man, that gets me through this, y'all. I'm not no preacher, no pastor, or none of that stuff, but this Holy Spirit is real, and it'll have you doing some stuff and getting out and talking and saying some things that you never knew you would do. So just kind of keep that. Put a pin in that one as we move forward. Don't worry about the isolation feeling. Don't worry about the awkwardness, the way it looks. It's supposed to be that way, right? We're a peculiar people. So with that said, man, and I'm moving into the second window now. So we got that one done. I told you I wouldn't be long tonight. It goes back to the stories, and I'm really talking to the believers right now, right? We may have some unbelievers on the call, but I'm really talking to the born-again, baptized body of Christ that's out there listening. There's a story in the Bible with the wheat and the tares, right? There's a parable that's found in Matthew 13. I'm not going to read it, but I'll paraphrase a little bit of what it says for those who may not be familiar. There was a farmer, and Jesus told this to his disciples. He was talking in parables to the people, and he told them about a farmer that planted good soil in his garden, wheat. And as he slept through the night, someone came in and they planted some impostures, which were called tares. These are weeds, right? And so when the people came to the farmer the next day and told him, hey, didn't you plant good soil? Well, how come you got weeds growing alongside your good stuff? And he told them, it's all right. And they said, well, we can go rip them up out of there if you want. He said, no, that's okay. Let them grow together. And when it's time to harvest, I'll rip those up and we'll bundle them and we'll burn them. So later on in the chapter, later on in Matthew, the disciples asked Jesus, what was the meaning of that? And he tells them that the field is really like the world. And he was saying that those that good seed are the God's chosen, those ones that I've called. And then he says, and those imposters, right, that those tares, those are imposters. Those are those people who claim to be believers but aren't really believers. He said, and that harvesting time is when I'll come back at the end and I'll bound them up and they'll burn. And so a really simple story, right? But heavy in significance. Because right now, man, there's some wheats and tares, and we're growing together, right? And when we look alike, and we look like the world, and so when you think about that, man, it kind of takes you to this, well, what's the difference? Well, how can we tell the difference, right? There's got to be a difference, man. We just can't all worship together, sing the same song, say the same thing. God is good. Amen. God is good. The whole world is saying that. It's time that we worship. And this is where it landed on me, that there's got to be some truth in this, right? There's a truth, right? There's a scripture that talks about we worship in spirit and in truth, right? And so it hit me, man, because I had an ex-student of mine called me up, and he's coming along in his walk. But young people have questions, right? And non-believers, and people have questions. And it was around Valentine's Day. And he asked me, and I already knew he knew the answer, but he wanted to see what I respond in truth. Coach Q, what's up with this Valentine's Day stuff, man? I don't see that in the Bible. But everybody around me at church, they talking about Valentine's Day and this and that and the other thing. But where does that fit in? What does that fit in? And these young people ain't dumb. They got a phone. He can Google everything out there, right? And it's out there. And I respond, and then I let him know that, no, that's not biblical. You're right, fam. That actually is it was a pagan day. The world has adopted it. It's nothing to do. And he said, well, that ain't no different than it. And then we got into that conversation about all of the pagan days we celebrate. But it was important in that moment for me to give him that, because what he said was, okay, I appreciate that, fam, because I just wanted to see if you're going to keep it real, right? And I was like, okay, no, we have to preach truth in this thing. And so going back to these traditions of men and these so-called holy days that we acknowledge as believers, we really got to check ourselves on that, fam. In Mark chapter 7, there's a story about some believers and that were they were not doing basically the word of God and instituting their own tradition. And I'll paraphrase what happened in that story. You can read it for yourself. It's in Mark 7. But the people were supposed to be taking care of their parents. They were supposed to be, you know, basically spending their money on their parents. But what they were doing is they were saying, well, we're, I don't know if they were tithing, we're tithing that money or we're putting it here, but it was some kind of little diversion that they had come up with to put that money aside and keep it and not take care of the parents. But Jesus chastised them and he told them that you forego my word for the traditions of men. And that's what I thought about when I was having that conversation with my neighbor, when he was talking about, man, you don't celebrate Easter. Again, a tradition of man. Right, and that's a conversation for another night, because we can talk about that day and what it actually originated as and how it was instituted, but you forego my word, right? It clearly states in Exodus 12 that we are to never forget the Passover, and like the dude told me, are you Jewish? And that's again, we let man talk us out of what we're supposed to be doing. Somebody done told us that that's just for Jews, right? Well, first of all, the people that we think Jews may not even be Jews. I don't think they are, but I don't want to get into that right now, right? But the point is say it in the word, right? Whether you Jew, whether you came later on, it says remember the Passover. But none of us do, you know, but we remember other things. So, again, when we forsake the word for the tradition of man, it's something that we got to check ourselves on. So again, tough message for some maybe, but it was on my heart and I had to share that. We're in window 3, you guys. So I'm rolling through this thing. I'll be done in a minute. What does it look like to look different? And I like this piece, right? This is a little upbeat for y'all. Okay. This will pep you back up. What does it look like when we resemble Yah? People won't do certain things around you. When you look like Yah, right, people ain't gonna just be cussing around you and doing a bunch of crazy stuff. You know how it is. Some of you have that kind of influence around people. Excuse my language, right, when people slip up and say stuff, when they see that on you, right, the conversations are different when you're present. The activities, right, people basically kind of want to level up when you come around. That's the God they see in you. That's the Holy Spirit. That's not looking like the world, right? There's times where I do not look like God to one of my partners, y'all. I tell you that right now, because this brother ain't stopped sending me nasty, dirty text messages, jokes, vulgar stuff that I used to laugh at with him. But because he don't see God in me, he just think it's cool to keep doing it, right? And so maybe at some point I need to have a, I don't know what I need to do, but I'm just giving you an example of what it looks like not to see God in somebody as opposed to sin. And that's just real, right? Sometimes it's just the way we talk. I know when I say Yah, people look at me like, what this brother on? But you Muslim? Right? The Bible says in Psalm 68, verse 4, they use his name, right? It's extol. He comes on the cloud. Extol, praise, give joy to his name. Yah is what it says in the Bible. So when I use that word, I get looked at like, man, what do you worship? We say God, partner. What's that all about? So, again, I want to be intentional, right? And so that's why I use it because, I don't want to sound like the world, family. People use God every day and don't have nothing to do with the God of Abraham, Jacob, and Isaac, right? God is used by Luciferians, Satanists, all kind of different people. Hang on to that God title. And so I want to, again, be different, intentional, going the other way, but doing it in truth, right? I can't be making up nothing as I go along. There's a this truth piece. You know, what does truth look like? What does it look like to be in truth, right? It's this boldness. It's this shining this light into dark places, I guess is what I would say. Recently, the Valentine's Day story I told you, right? And then there was also around that time when I was preparing for Passover, I was going to do the roasted lamb. And I called up a cousin of mine who he may be a believer, may not. I don't know. He doesn't really talk about it that much. I tend to think that he's kind of on the fence. And so, again, somebody that I can influence. I called him because he's a chef, and I wanted to ask him how to prepare the lamb. How do I cook lamb? And he said, well, he was telling me, and then he said, well, wait a minute, bro. You don't even eat meat. So what you tripping on? What's this lamb stuff all about? And I told him about the past. I said, well, you know, I'm recognizing Passover. And he said, oh, okay, is that like Ramadan? And I said, no, it ain't Ramadan, brother. This is something biblical, right? That's Muslim and something different. But this is biblical. And he said, well, I know Easter coming up this weekend, and I know that Easter ain't nothing. And he used the word I'm talking about, right? Because I know that ain't what it is. You know, I know for a fact that that ain't. So sometimes, y'all, believers are more rooted in truth than we are, right? And which is one of the stumbling blocks as to why they don't want to come, because they see the falsehoods, and they'll hold on to those little falsehoods. Man, y'all celebrating Easter. Y'all celebrating Christ. I don't want nothing to do with that white man religion. All the things that they hear, and those are the things that keep souls from coming to Christ. But those souls are important to the Father, y'all. One unbeliever is only one testimony away from being a believer. So that's a valuable soul on that end. It ain't cool just to write them off and be like, well, he just ain't gonna believe, that's on him. But going back to what I was saying to my cousin when he asked me, he said, well, I know that Easter stuff ain't nothing, but what's this Passover thing you talking about? And I gave him a little info on it, and I told him where it was at in the Bible, and his response was, well, that's kind of cool. And I might be able to fool with something like that, right? Something to that effect was his response. Again, truth. Right, as opposed to just a tradition that I ain't going to hear, because I already know that that ain't nothing, and I don't want to hear that. Give me some truth, and I might feed on it. And so I thought that was a real breakthrough moment. Another one is standing in truth sometimes means to speak up against something, family. I got a text message from a cousin that I love dearly, and me and him have had conversations. He's not a believer. You know, and again, but he's just one testimony away from being a believer too, so we ain't gave up on him. But he's having some fortune in the world right now. He's having some good fortune in the world, and things are going his way. And he sent us a text, and he sent it from a good place. And he sent this to five or six believers, to the family, and his text message said, the universe will give you all the things of your heart, or something to that effect. And it was a quote from a book called The Alchemist. And so I immediately, my spirit rose up, and I was thinking, no, it ain't no alchemy, it ain't no magic, this is the Father's thing. And so I prayed on it, and I responded back, and I basically just let him know in a really kind and polite way that we rebuke alchemy. Right? That is not godlike. That's not where we're, you know, that's not the, like I said, that is not of Yah. And I broke down some scripture in it all, and he responded kindly and said, hey, I didn't mean anything by it. I was just, you know, just trying to send a positive message. And I said, amen. But you know who that message was really for? Because I know where he stands. That message was really for those believers on that text that didn't respond. Right, that sat in silence, because I think that sat there for about a day before I finally got my thoughts together and responded. But and maybe other people were just waiting and they were praying on it. Maybe that's what it was. But I almost felt like David in the Bible when the giant was standing there taunting the group, and he was like, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Y'all were just gonna let talk crazy." And when I saw that text sitting there, I was like, "Ain't nobody gonna say nothing to this." Right? And here's the danger in that, family. Like he said, he meant it from a good place. But if that sits there and we don't reproof that or correct that, that can stand in truth. That can stand in truth and then get some legs. And that's what we see happening in this world right now, right? There's a lot of untruths that are being called on as truths. And we know that they aren't, but that's where this world is moving. And if we ain't moving against it, then we moving with it. So it's a real, you know, it's real shaky territory to be on when we start talking about those things. So just remember again, shining our light into dark places. I'm almost done. Check the clock real quick and see where I am. Coach D, you hear me? Am I still good?
No, you're doing good. You're good. I mean,
right.
I bet you're done, but you're doing good. You got time.
Oh no. I'm getting there. Like I said, it was kind of a straightforward message. I'm almost done, and I really hope that this message is coming off as encouragement and as a strength builder, right? For some of us need encouragement, some of us need strength, some of us need both, right? So just wherever you are in this. I'm really praying that it lands on you. Where am I at? Oh, okay. So again, this whole piece about this message, right? It's a message for. Niecy mentioned it early in her intro. She talked about needing something, being stuck in a season, and what I was praying on is that if this message isn't you, if it's not you, maybe it's for somebody that you need to be reaching out to, right? And maybe that's your breakthrough moment. Maybe going to minister is what's going to move you into that next season. I'm not talking about just me, see, I'm talking about all of us, right? Maybe taking them steps is what's going to break us out. So this might not be your message. This message might not be for you. Might be doing all this stuff and more. Right, but somebody around you might not be. And again, let me clarify, fam, because I ain't got all this figured out, right? I won't sit here and say that, right? There's a lot of things that I'm still working through, and I'm not afraid to admit that. And so, with that said, because honestly, I think that my reputation is a stumbling block for some, you know. And I'm being really transparent here. I think my past as a womanizer, I think. Deflects people from coming from hearing the message from me, you know, especially the men in my life, right? And I told you guys I started facilitating a men's Bible study about 2 years ago, and when I started doing it, I had the men in my family at the forefront of my heart. That's who I was doing it for. You know, some of them had even suggested I do it, right? And so I did it, and maybe one or two came, two or three, and then they eventually none came. And so right now, God got his hand on it, and it's you know, he's doing what he's doing with it, and there's men are showing up, and we cast the net even wider, I guess. Right. So now there's a group of men from all around the country that are calling in every Wednesday night. And it's really been a blessing. But going back to the why, right, these people closest to me, they probably saw some things in my life that they just couldn't get over. Right. And heard things that I had said and just wasn't going to get past it. And so in that, you know, it's important that, you know, we don't get discouraged, right? Don't stop there, Q. Just because they didn't show up don't mean we don't do the Bible study call, right? Extend the net and invite some old people, right? Remember that story in the Bible when he invited them to the king's banquet? People had a whole bunch of excuses why they didn't want to show up, so he went out and invited some others, right? And so that's the, in that same light is what we want to kind of remember. And I'm talking personally right now, but you get the gist of what I'm coming from. Our reputations, our past, and those things can sometimes be stumbling blocks, which is why we have to sound off all the more, right? Which is why I really can't look like the world. I got to be extra vigilant, especially amongst those, right, that ain't seeing that on me. I just told you I got a partner that keeps sending me stuff, you know. And maybe this will happen too, right? And the Lord just put this on my spirit just now, you guys. Maybe what needs to happen, and maybe what's going to happen, is one of them people going to tell me face-to-face, Q, the reason I don't come is because of you. Now, that's going to put some motion in my feet, y'all. If I hear that I'm a stumbling block to somebody for something I've said or done, I bet you I get to moving in and I get to correcting some stuff then, right? Because I don't want that the blood on my hands. And so thank you, Father. That's revelation. Thank you in the moment. I love you, Father. Thank you. Thank you for that. I'm done, family. I hope that was received in love. And I humbly just turn that over to you. So be encouraged, be strengthened. Remember, self-check. It won't happen overnight, right? Don't have to happen overnight. And just let the Holy Spirit lead and guide you. And that's it, right? The Word, right? The Word should have the last say, right? And then again, let's just stay in our Word, in our Bibles. I'm done. I love you all. Thank y'all for listening, man.
Amen, my brother. I'm giving you a great word. It was an on-time word. Now, let me just show, you know, tell you all how the Holy Spirit works. We all have the same. If you're a born-again believer, we all have the same Holy Spirit, which is the Spirit of God that lives inside of us. He's the same. So, and the Spirit bears witness. So, today, like I said, this whole season for me has been a season, and I've been pushing through because I'm darn and determined that I'm not giving up. God hasn't given up on me. I'm not giving up on God. I'm not going to let the cares of this world cause me to just throw in the towel. I'm determined to push myself. But some days get harder than others, and some days I can't push myself to put on the mask of, you know, of joy and put on the mask of, you know, oh, I just can't someday. So today, I know every Thursday I have a show. I'm committed to this. I'm committed to the obedience of this. And on Thursday, it's kind of, I know this because I've been doing it for 8 years. If I'm going to, I get attacked on other days as well, not just Thursdays, but probably my biggest attacks come on Thursday. And I wasn't necessarily having an attack today, but when I was sitting up beginning to, you know, be still and let the Lord just minister to me of where I needed to go today, Brother Q dropped in my spirit, and I shot him a text. And I said, you got a word for us on tonight? And it's funny because he dropped in my spirit, but prior to with me trying to prepare for today, I felt like I needed a word. I felt like I needed to hear what the Holy Spirit had to say. And not that you always have to have somebody else deliver it, but I felt like I needed to be ministered to, that I needed to, you know, everything. We done got used to this modern-day religion where everything feel good. You're going to be blessed here. You know, people prophesied in blessings and monies and comfort cars and houses and husbands and wives and all this stuff, right? And people that got used to that. I don't want that. I want, when I'm out of order, when I'm not functioning according to, I don't want me wanting a car, a house, a husband to send me to hell. I don't want that. I My desire is to see the King. My desire is to hear good and faithful servant. So if I need to be corrected and God uses other people through his word to minister the word, because the word is what convicts. And I felt like I needed a convicting word because I knew that I'm struggling. I know I'm poor. So when he dropped in my spirit, I didn't know. I said, "You got a word?" And he said, "You know, I always got a word, but I got one tonight." He said, "But there ain't no feel-good word." And I knew when he said that I was in alignment with what God wanted for tonight. So thank you, my brother, for bringing forth that word. That's not an easy word to deliver. Why? Because the world has made the platform hard for people to speak sin, for people to speak repentance, for people to speak line, you know, get lined up, you know, and the world has made it difficult through all of this religious rituals and prosperity and all the other stuff. So when God is placing it on somebody's heart, they have to bring forth a word that don't feel good, that don't tickle the ears. That's a hard word to bring. So I thank my brother for being obedient to even get on here and bring that word, because that ain't a word people like. I tell you, you could have an audience of 5,000, and you start speaking that kind of word, you're going to start seeing people creep out the back door, because people don't want to hear that. People don't want to be held accountable. But I thank you for the word of accountability. And as you was preaching the word on tonight, the scripture that came to mind was Matthew 13 chapter. And I'm going to read it, verses 54 through 57. It says, coming to his hometown, he began teaching the people in their synagogues, and they were amazed. Where did this man get this wisdom and these miraculous powers? They asked, Isn't this just the dude from Oakland? Isn't this just the girl from Compton and Cerrito? Ain't her mama Hattie? You know, she just, isn't she the teen that was going through some stuff? You know, she's just the homegirl. He's just the homeboy. And Jesus said to them, is that a prophet is not without honor except in his own town and in his own home. They know our humanity. And they oftentimes are closest family and friends. All they see is Nisi. They don't see Coach D. You know, all they see is Quentin. They don't see the minister. They don't see the man of God or the woman of God. And all of us that's out there that's trying to do the right thing or that's trying to preach the gospel, all they see is you know, who we were or who we, you know, or sometimes they see the humanity in who we are now. My family, you know, I just shared a testimony last week about my son's car getting tore up. And I was very transparent that I didn't respond, that my response didn't give honor to God. My response was that of a mother, that my response was the homegirl. My response was Nisi, because I was ready in my mind, you know, this happened. I am ashamed how I responded, not in the shame of condemnation, but I'm convicted that I did not give my father honor in my response. And I thank God that he still convicts me. Because as long as he's convicting me, I have an opportunity to repent. I have an opportunity to say, Lord, I blew it. I messed up. Real. Forgive me. I need you. I have that opportunity. Amen. So if you're not being convicted, then you really need to seek God, because you want to know you've been convicted. You don't want to think for one moment that God turns you over to a reprobate mind. You don't want to become comfortable in sin. You don't want to become comfortable doing stuff that you know that used to bother you when you first did it, but now you do it so much it don't even bother you. You're desensitized. And we're living in a desensitized world right now. Death don't even affect. I don't know about anybody else, but since COVID, I don't think death affects people like it used to. You know, people die, you'd be like, oh, okay, they're sad. You know, condolences. And then if there's no more emotion. So we become desensitized. We see commercials When I was growing up as a kid, we didn't have reality shows or stuff. We had soap operas. But every time in the soap operas, whether you was looking at One Life to Live or All My Children or As the World Turns, right before a couple got ready to kiss, the commercial would come on. Because you didn't see that. If the commercial would come on, when you came back, it was left to your imagination. Did they kiss? Did they get in the shower? Did they not get in the shower? You didn't know. But nowadays, they get in the shower. They're doing everything. You see it. Your kids see it. Your grandkids see it. We have become desensitized. And when we first seen it, we would turn the channel, hold their ears, cover their eyes. Come on now, somebody. Now we ain't doing that. Now we ain't doing that. Not only that, not are we not protecting their gates, we're now giving them cell phones and iPads and computers where they could go on themselves and pull up any porn site they want to. They could go in there themselves and pull up any chat where you got a chat room that's chatting to kids, and these are grown people. So, and we're giving them these things because we are now these modern-day parents that the world is showing us how to raise our kids. And we're giving them these tools to babysit them because I'm too busy, because I'm tired, I done worked all day, or I'm a single-parent household, or this or that. So we're giving them these computers and this technology that's giving them access to the kingdom of hell. Amen? So I don't know why I went there, but, yeah, conviction. I want to continue to get convicted. Lord, when I'm out of line, convict me. And I just pray that you would, that my heart would continue to be pliable so that when you convict me, I hear it and I immediately respond to it. So, again, brother, I thank you for the word that you brought forth. And, again, we keep it in mind. You gave us a lot of scriptures on tonight. One you did, you know, but this Matthew 13, just know, just to continue to be obedient to God. And that those that are around you, believe it or not, I you know, they do. Your family does. Because, I mean, I've been doing the show for 8 years, and I could count on one hand how many people that I know of in my family that listen. I've had some family members that, you know, after I would minister something, they would come back and, you know, tell me something that they felt like wasn't right, or why did I say that, or, you know, different things. And I would hear what they had to say. Not that I always received it, but I hear what they had to say. I didn't argue with them on it because I can't, you know, I can't change what their truth is or how they feel about what I say, but I only want to say the word of God. And even if you're looking at me and you feel like I ain't right or I ain't doing something right or whatever, that doesn't matter. The word of God is the word of God. That's the one thing that's not going to change. So even if Coach D is out of order, or if Coach, I'm not trying to be, because I really don't want to take my testimony. I would hate for somebody to stumble or even back away from God because of something they see me do or say. And so I pray that doesn't happen. But I want everybody to know you have to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. So because when Jesus comes and he asks you a question, you can't tell him that you did what you did or you didn't do what you didn't do because of what Coach D said or did. Because that's not going to be a viable excuse. Coach D going to have to deal with what she did or said if it affected it. But guess what? That's not going to be a good excuse for you. That's not gonna be your get out of jail free pass, because you have to be accountable for yourself. This is an individual walk, and it's a personal relationship. It's not a religion, and it's not a ritual. It's a personal relationship between you and God. What is God telling you to do? Because he may be telling me to do something different. I may be doing something that you think is wrong. But it may not be wrong with God. He may, you know, he may be telling me to do something different. Perfect example of that. God may tell me to get up, pack up all my clothes at a day notice, and get on the plane headed to Africa. Guess what? My family gonna think I'm crazy. They're gonna tell me I'm losing my mind. They're gonna tell me, you know, all kind of things. But it don't matter what they tell me, and it doesn't matter what they think. What did God tell you? Are you being obedient to what God said? Are you trying to please man? And at the end of the day, all of us should be trying to do what God tells us to do and not what man tells us to do. Amen. So I'm not going to keep going on, but brother, I just want to thank you again for the word that you brought forth. It was an on-time word. I pray that the people heard what went forth. It was a simplistic message. Do we resemble Christ? What, you know, what are we doing in our lives that, that scream Christ? You know, do people know who I belong to? Do they know who, you know, do they know who I belong to? That's the thing. It's no different than in the natural. In the natural, we're a representation of our parents. And when you grew up in certain communities, you could walk through the community and somebody said, oh, yeah, that there goes such and such boy. Oh, yeah, there goes such and such girl. Oh, yeah, such and such is her mama. You know, they knew. They knew who you belonged to. Why? Because you looked like them. You favored them. You had mannerisms. Oh, I know that. Well, there go one of them Burrells. You know, they knew. So it's the same thing in our spiritual walk. If God is our Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ, His Son, is our brother, our Lord, our Savior, then we got to start looking like them. They got to be able to identify it, and that's through, and the only way they could do that is through, you know, is through our deeds. That's the truth. Through the fruits of the Spirit. What, you know, what are we, example, are we getting angry? Are we going off? Are we going off on people? Are we cussing people out? Are we trying to run people off the road with road rage? You know, are we always twisting our necks and got our hands on our hips? You know, are we banishing our weapons? Even if you in a right to carry armed state, do you are you walk? I mean, because how can you come and minister to me and you banishing your weapon? You know, I ain't really there to hear you talk about Jesus because I'm too busy looking at what you got on the side of your head. And that's the truth. That's real. Amen. That's real. So, yeah, we just really gotta just take a look at the personal thing. You know, we don't. This is between you and God. Do you look like Him? Can you tell? Can people tell you belong to Christ? How, you know, the bigger thing in that is not even about people being able to tell, but Christ. Can Christ tell you belong to Him? Because according to His Word, He says that. How He knows you're a child of His, how He knows you belong to Him is because you obey His word. And that's how He knows, how He knows. So this is just a self-reflect, you know. Does Christ know that you belong to Him? That's the first and foremost. Remember, it's a vertical thing. Love the Lord your God with all your all in all. And then the second thing is, can people tell that you resemble Christ? And that would follow the, that second command, which said, love your neighbor as you love, you know, as you love yourself. So just something to reflect on tonight. And with that, I'm going to go ahead and start closing out the show. I want to thank my brother again for he stay ready so he don't have to get ready. God tells us, you know, to be ready in and out of season, and you were ready, my brother. So thank you for bringing in the word. I want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in tonight to this episode of Processing the Pain. Know that you are truly loved and appreciated. Thank you for your continual support. We'll be here next Thursday, same time, same place. Know that you are loved and appreciated. Good night.
Many times surrender.